All right, 1 John chapter 2, if you would. 1 John chapter 2, while you're getting there, I'd just like to thank you today for your hospitality to me and my family. And I tell you, I just enjoy being here. It's like your second home, you know, and that ought to be the way it is for us as a child of God. We ought to be able to go enjoy it. One another. I didn't hear that, but I'm sure I will later, whatever it was. I was thinking. I was beyond that there.
Something like you're welcome to stay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly. Thank
you, all of you ladies and the men. I know some of the men you cook too for preparing the food and all that. Great job. Just a great meal today. And now I promise that I'm going to try to be brief because I know you're not going to hang with me very long. But having said that, you know what that means. That means absolutely nothing when a preacher says that. You can forget that. But I know you're probably full, and you know you have to ease. Listen, I tell you what you need to do, men especially. I don't know if it'll help you ladies, probably most of you. But men, you need to invest in the greatest invention of the 21st century. I'm convinced of it. I mean, they talk about all these things that win Nobel Prizes and everything, but folks, I'm telling you, men, this is it. I invested in it last year, two of them, as a matter of fact. I was so sold on it, and it is tremendous. It is the ratchet belt. Hey, very discreet. You just hit the little switch. There's none of that embarrassing having to change holes and all that when you get home. I mean, it's a tremendous blessing. Now, the pastor, he cheats. He doesn't wear a belt. He wears a suspender. He likes to convince you that that's for fashion. He gets that adjustment right there. You know. But, hey.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. We appreciate it. Oh, it's good. But if anybody in the world ought to be able to laugh, it ought to be a child of God.
Yes. Amen.
Enjoy one another. 1 John chapter 2. Just one verse this afternoon. One verse. Verse 28. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Affectionate words we're going to look at this afternoon. Father, we ask you to just meet with us once again, Lord. Already it's just been a blessing to be here today, Lord. We've so enjoyed the songs, the special music, Lord, the choir and the instruments, Lord, this morning and all of those that's had a part. Lord, we're so thankful that folks are exercising the talents and the gifts that you've given them. And we pray, Father, that it might encourage others to step outside perhaps their comfort zone. And Lord, to find that thing that you would have for them to do also. We pray this afternoon, Lord, that you would just open our hearts once again. Lord, that you would quiet our minds and you would still them. And Lord, help us to concentrate now upon your word for these next few minutes. Father, might we see, Lord, the great blessing we have in what Christ has done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These are affectionate words that John uses here in his book of 1 John. And I know that we all like to think that we're grown up, you know, and we all have reached this tremendous level of maturity, you know, and we have grown spiritually, and we're above some of these little things, you know, and these affectionate things. But listen, there, especially the last couple of years in this world that we're living now, we need to take comfort. We need to understand that the comfort we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes I like to get that picture of God being there, of of Jesus being there. And I know we don't like to portray God as that, you know, old man up there in a rocking chair in the sky, you know, and all that. But I'll tell you what, for me, sometimes I like to think of him in that rocking chair. And I like to think of crawled up in his lap. And just allowing him to envelop us and to assure us that it's all right. It's okay. I'm still here. I'm still on the throne. It may seem like Satan is having his way right now. And he is. But one day his rule is going to end.
Amen.
And things are going to be set right. The old curse that's on this world is going to be lifted.
Amen.
And it's going to be restored back to the way that it was meant to be.
Yes.
From the very beginning. Our position as children of God, even though we are God's children, that does not give us a license or a permission, if you will, to remain immature in the faith. We are to grow in our faith. It's all right, you start out as a baby. I mean, all human beings start out as an infant, and then they grow. And the same applies to us spiritually. In our lives, we start out as an infant. We start out as a babe in Christ. But we don't want to remain a babe in Christ for 20 or 30 or 40 years. We're to grow. We're to progress. Just as we do physically in our human body, we're to do the same thing spiritually. In our spiritual lives, we're to grow. And they tell the Word of God tells us that we're not to stay on the milk, but we're to progress from the milk, and we're to grow into the meat of the Word, that we're able to sustain those things that are more difficult as we go on. And so we are often challenged to grow in grace and to develop those strong spiritual muscles, so that we might be able to live for Him in a world that more and more disdains Him and has forsaken Him and has taken His name in vain time and time again. And this verse that we're going to look at this afternoon, just very quickly, it has three important words for us, I think, that we as little children need to understand. And these words can help us to stay focused and to be ready for our future in Him. And the first word is abide. Abide. It says, and now, little children, abide in Him. The word abide means to remain. It means to dwell somewhere, to be somewhere. And here, John tells us that we are to, as little children, as a child of God, that we are to abide, we are to dwell, we are to remain in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that over these past years, as a parent and now as a grandparent, I have often said more times than I would like to remember to my children as they were growing up, and we would be out somewhere, and now to my grandchildren as we go out, I will tell them as we're out in a public setting, and maybe there's a lot of people out there, you know, hey, stick close to Papa. Stay close to Papa here. Stay close to Dad here. Stay close to me. Why? Because you want to protect them. You know that there's things out there that are going to bother them. There's people out there that will do them harm. There's difficulties out there, and there's things out there that are ugly in this world, and you want them to stick close to you so that you can protect them, and so that you can watch over them. And that's the idea here. That's the connotation that we have here. As John speaks here, he's talking about, he said, listen, believers, listen, little children, you young believers and you older believers alike, he says, you need to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to dwell in Him. You need to stick close to Him. I remember, it's been a lot of years ago now, more than I want to count, but our oldest grandson, Connor, he was maybe three, probably at the most. And my wife and I went to the Home and Garden Show up in Huntington. A lot of you probably have been to that thing. You know, they have it in the springtime up in the Civic Center up there, the Big Sandy Arena, whatever it's called this month. I don't know. They changed the name of it. But anyway, they put all those home and garden products in there in the spring, and you go in there, you know, and they have it. Well, we took him up there one year because they have a petting zoo in there, and they have all different kind of stuff, you know. And we take him in, and there's just people everywhere. And so, you know, I'm watching him. I'm trying to keep an eye on him. He's just, you know, here, and he has a tendency to go. And so we're watching him. Well, we're down this one aisle, and down this aisle, they have this, the whole aisle is full of these storage buildings outside, the wooden storage buildings, you know, that you have out in the yard, the big things, you know, and they've got them butted up against each other, side by side, so that the eaves as they come down the roofs are touching each other, you know, so they could get all of them in there. And there's just a whole row of these things down through the Civic Center right there. And so when the roofs butt up against each other, there's probably about this much room between those buildings. And I'm standing there, and I'm trying to watch him, you know, and about the time I turn around, choom, he goes down through those buildings. Right between two of those little buildings like that. Now, this ain't going to fit through that little space right there. I'm not getting through there. You know, I can't get through there. So I look, and I look this direction down this aisle. I look this direction down this aisle. And naturally, he goes right through the middle of them, where we're in the middle. So it doesn't matter which way I go, I'm going. So here I go, you know. Being very cool about it, you know. Trying to get to the end of the aisle down here. Trying to get down here. And I get down to the end of the aisle down here. And just as I go around the aisle, I look. And I see that little blonde head go around the other end of the aisle. On the opposite end like that. And, oh, it cost me 2-3 years of my life. I know, at least, in that. But Mamaw corralled him down at the other end, you know. She's much calmer than me in some of those situations, you know. Used to be, now she's not. But we got him, you know. But that's what John's saying here. He said, listen, abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stick close to Him. He's your protector. He's your comforter. He's the source of your strength. Abide in Him and remain with Him. Here, abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to stay close to Him. John chapter 15, that familiar passage that we have in John 15 that we read so often, we look at so much. He says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Jesus says, stay close to me, children. Stay close to me. He tells the disciples, he says, listen, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Abide in me. Stay close to me. You have to be in me, else you can't bear fruit. If you lop off that branch, what happens? It's going to die. It's going to die if you separate it from the vine. And so we need to abide in him. And if we're going to live successfully as his child in this spiritually dangerous world that we're in today, then we must abide in him. There's no substitute for us. Second word this morning is appear. Appear. He says to us here, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear. When he shall appear. In spite of what the world may think, in spite of what the world may say, Jesus is coming back.
Amen. Amen, brother.
He's coming back. We sang about it this morning. The choir sang about it. We read about it. He's coming back, folks. He's coming back. There's been so much talk these last couple years since this pandemic came out and all these things, you know, about, you know, well, we're living in the last days and, you know, the end times are here and all that. Hey, folks, listen. We've been living in the last days since Jesus went back to heaven.
That's right. Yes, you're right.
That's when it started.
Yes.
John, those disciples that were left, they were looking for him to come back in their lifetime.
Yes.
And they're still looking, and we're still looking. And the times no matter with the Lord. You and I use time. We think about time. We count time. We mark time in hours and days and all those things, you know, and years and all that. God's eternal.
Yes.
God is outside the bounds of time. He knows no constraint. Time has no constraint on him. He always has been and he always will
Amen.
Be.
Amen.
People say, oh, it's been 2,000 years. He still hasn't come back. What's that to God? He's eternal.
Yes.
That hasn't been very long at all. It's just a small amount of time. And he is coming back. We were in John 15 a while ago. If you go to John 14, just one chapter before that, that chapter that probably most of you have memorized, or at least part of it memorized, that you hear so often, Christ is telling the disciples, he's telling those others, he's giving them words of comfort there in John chapter 14, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will. You see that? You ought to have it underlined. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may
Amen.
Be also.
Amen.
Folks, he went to prepare a place. And he is preparing that place. And he's just waiting for the Father to say, son, go get your children.
Yes.
That's all that remains. There's nothing that has to happen in prophecy. There's nothing that has to be fulfilled. There's nothing else here. I'm telling you, the trumpet could sound before we get out of here this afternoon.
Amen.
And we can be out of here. And I got to be honest with you. I find myself looking more and more forward to that than I do the things down here that this world has to offer. More and more of my friends and of my family and of folks that I have had good relationships are already there now instead of down here. And so the pull begins to get stronger. And there are times we need to be reminded that all this stuff that the world has, all these things that they throw at us, all of these difficulties and all this heartache and everything that comes, it's just temporary. It's just for a short time. and then we're going to be gone, and we will be with him. The Lord is coming again. He is coming. Paul wrote to Titus, and he encouraged him. He told him, he said, listen, be on the lookout for the Lord. In Titus 2:13, he said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The songwriter said, what a day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And finally, the third word this morning is ashamed. Ashamed. Do you see what he said? He said, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know, you get to that word and it kind of takes you back. You know, you kind of say, wait a minute. We were doing so good here. I mean, we were abiding, and that was good, and then we were looking for the appearing, and that was good, and now he's talking about being ashamed. What's that about? What came here? What happened here? How would a child of God possibly be ashamed before him at his coming? But if we're honest with ourselves, we don't have to take very long to reflect on our lives and think about things in them that would cause us to be ashamed at his appearing. I mean, you know, it's those things that would bring a no at the trumpet instead of a sense of yes, here we go. A lot of things, and John talked about them earlier in the book, that here he had already talked about him over in 1 John in chapter 1 right there. He had already said 1 John 1 and in verse 5, he said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, now he's talking to you and me. He's talking to Christians here. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What can make us ashamed at his coming? It would be those little things that plague us. Those little things that we don't take care of. You've heard it said, I'm sure, many times that we need to keep a short list. We need to keep a short account. We need to watch. That's what they're referring to here. We need to stay prayed up. We need to stay in fellowship. We need to stay abiding with him. Listen, I'm not in the least bit concerned about my salvation. That's settled. It was taken care of at Calvary.
Amen.
God took care of that. Actually, it was taken care of before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
It was taken care of. And it was borne out at Calvary through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The covenant was made between God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us to him, and he holds on to us. And I'm not worried about losing my salvation. There's not anything I am, but I tell you what I am worried about. I'm worried about being ashamed at his coming. I'm worried about not doing what I ought to be doing when he comes back. I'm worried about the things that he's entrusted me to do and not doing them to the best of my ability. I'm worried about, I'm concerned about being caught unawares. I'm concerned about allowing the things of this world to drag me down and to discourage me and to cause me to lose heart and to faint along the wayside. I'm concerned about not being what I ought to be when He comes back. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want there to be things there that ought not to be there. I don't want to disappoint after all that He's done for me. And I'm sure that each believer can think of sin that's been left unconfessed and hearts that have been hardened to the Lord. And you know, we so often we have an unforgiving attitude and we have duties that are unfulfilled in our lives or we withhold our love for some reason, you know, or from some silly circumstance that's taken place. And listen, folks, this is all we got. You got your 80, and it says if by chance maybe you get 80, you know, and I mean that's all there is. That's all the time we have. This is the only time right now that we're going to exhibit faith. It's right now while we're living. When we get there, that faith's going to be turned into what?
Sight.
Sight. I don't need faith when I get to heaven. Faith's over when I get to heaven. This is the only chance I got to exercise. It's right here. This is the only chance I've got to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is right here. This is the only chance I've got to minister to others is right here, and it's right now. And I cannot allow myself to be distracted. I need to abide in Him. I need to dwell where He is. I need to be looking for His appearing. I need to not say that, oh, it's way out there somewhere and we got this to do and that to do first and all of that. No, I need to understand that He said that His return was imminent, that it could be at any time, at any day now. And I need to guard that I will not be ashamed at His appearing. How much better for you and for me, for God's little children, John calls us here, to remain close to the Lord, to abide in Him, that when He appears, we can be confident. We can be expectant rather than being ashamed and filled with regret. How many people have you heard as they near the end of their life say, boy, I've got some regrets. I've got some regrets. It ought not to be that way in a child of God's life. It ought not to be that way. You ought to be abiding. You ought to be looking for that appearing, that when His return comes, we will not be ashamed. That we will be looking for Him. Affectionate words. Abide. Appear. Ashamed. Father, we thank You for today. Lord, I thank You for the Word, and I thank You for John. I thank You for the sweetness of his spirit. Lord, all the things that he went through, and Lord, how he leaves us here, this message of hope. Lord, how he talks to us like we are Your children. And God, he reminds us of the tremendous position that we have because of Calvary. Lord, help us to understand and to know, God, that You are there and You desire for us to abide in You, to look for Your appearing, Lord, in order that we might not be ashamed. Bless the day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.